And now, you're tuned into RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Host, Zach Dobb, who is now unmuted. This is your RBLR Rays podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Carter Brantley, this week, filling in for Pat. So glad to have Carter on the show. Carter, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Excited to be closer to Rays baseball. You know, excited to be closer to the regular season. Yes. It's an exciting time. The weather's great in Florida, at least. So, you know, really, really great all the way around.
Yeah, it's a baseball is 4 days away. No, 5 days away. 5 days away. The next time we speak with you all, we will be talking about regular season baseball games being played, depending on when we record one or two games. And if you want to know when we go live for that show, which is coming to you next week to talk about some Rays baseball, do us a huge favor and drop us a follow or a subscribe so you know when we go live, because we want to hear what you think. So to start the season, and we want you to join us there. Before we get there, though, we've got a jam-packed show for you today, starting off with some unfortunate news that happened yesterday. I hope that I'm not the one telling you this, but Shane McClanahan is injured. On top of that, we're also going to break down the Rays season. We're gonna break down our projections for the team. We're going to break down the American League East a little bit, talk about what we expect the competition to look like, and how we expect the Rays to grade out in the East, and how we expect them to go into the postseason, or if we expect them to go into the postseason. We're going to talk about team MVP, team Cy Young, and if any of these guys are going to compete for the American League awards. So let's kind of get it started with the unfortunate news. Not as bad as we first feared. Shane McClanahan spring training yesterday was looking really good going through the first inning or so, and then throws a pitch, and he comes up lame on his pitching arm. And I mean, it looked bad. It looked like season's over for him. Like right off the bat, it looked terrible. We got the news after the game that it is that they believe it is just a tricep strain. He's getting imaging done today, so we are hopeful that it is a 1.5 month type situation. Maybe he's coming back around the same time as Ha-Seong Kim, as opposed to a gone for the season with a UCL or something. But that really does put into perspective a lot of our conversations around the depth of the pitching staff. How do you feel about the pitching staff right now, Carter, with the injury to Shane?
Not as good, obviously. You know, Shane McClanahan's great. There's no way that I could sit here and say, "Oh, they're gonna be great. They're still gonna be awesome." Like, there's gonna be a drop back, you know, from him and versus whoever they kind of choose to fill in for him. But they always kind of had this six man, five and a half man, whatever you want to call it. They sort of had too many starting pitchers for a five man rotation. So unfortunately, the silver lining, if you want to think of it like that, is that, well, now they have five men, now they have a solidified five man rotation. So I feel fine. It's definitely not the worst thing that could have happened. Like you said, not season ending, theoretically, hopefully, knock on wood, all that stuff. Right. But it's moderate. It's 2025 in baseball. It's just how pitching is, unfortunately, at this point. They're all kind of ticking time bombs. And it sucks because, like, man, baseball is better with Shane McClanahan in it. The Rays are a better team when Shane McClanahan's pitching. He's a lot of fun to watch out there. So it's a huge bummer. Like, he seemed to really work hard. This is coming off his second Tommy John in his life. And man, I don't know how you go through it the first time, much less the second time. So it's a bummer, but in terms of the pitching staff, I think the Rays will be just fine. They've got, Littell and Bradley and Rasmussen and Pepio and all these really great talented players. So they'll be okay. But yeah, it hurt to watch for sure.
Yeah, and I think, the easy thing to do would be to just go right back to the Jeffrey Springs trade and kill him for that trade, because it would have been nice to have Jeffrey Springs right now. I don't think that that's really fair, because I think that, we don't know what Jeffrey Springs is going to be. He's also an injury concern guy. Getting Joe Boyle, who's kind of a future-facing guy and who may affect this situation at some point, I'm still okay with it. But it does make you think about it. The interesting thing about yesterday was Joe Boyle actually ended up coming in in relief of Shane and pitching a couple of innings. And then they sent him to AAA after the game, which tells me that they're not considering Joe Boyle to be part of the solution to this problem they now face of of having to replace Shane as opening day starter and in the rotation. You know, as we've discussed before, the rotation is now going to, you know, fall back without Shane. You're going to kind of fall back in on Pepio, Bradley, Littell, Boss, and Rasmussen. Rasmussen is the one that, you know, I expected him to take the kind of the half man spot, and you know, we would rely a little bit more on him, you know, for shorter outings because we were building him up. So he's the only one that I'm a little nervous about, only because I don't know how he can, if he can handle the innings. One other kind of side note on that is that Alex Faedo had some shoulder discomfort. They don't think it's like anything really, really bad, but he is going to, you know, probably start the year on the IL. He was one of the guys that we talked about as a potential kind of reset button guy, or even maybe a spot start guy. So he's no longer, you know, up for that, at least to begin the year. Now you're looking at Mike Vassell to kind of help. We were looking at him maybe on the outside looking in. He's probably now on the opening day roster. And then after, you know, from there, this is where you start to go to AAA, where the good news is we have maybe three-ish guys that could start a game. Joe Rock, Ian Seymour, Wagispack, if you really wanted him to, and then Boyle could start games at the major league level and be fine. I expect to see Ian Seymour and Joe Rock, at least one or the other, maybe both, to begin the season. I would not be shocked if a guy like Ian Seymour, who's pitched pretty well last season and pitched pretty well in spring, not great, but he's pitched pretty well in spring training. I would not be shocked to see one of those guys make the opening day roster. Topper seemed to indicate from his conversations with Cash that Mason Englert is going to make the opening day roster. I wonder if that, you know, I wonder how much that has changed since, you know, with Shane being injured. I almost wonder if you see Englert, you know, he could maybe still be on the opening day roster, but I wonder if they now maybe shift him out for an Ian Seymour and then bring in Kevin Kelly, because you really need experienced guys that you are confident in your bullpen, because you're probably going to have to rely on it a little bit more than you expected, because you're going to be looking at least one, maybe two guys in Drew and Ian Seymour or Joe Rock that are probably going to need at least a little bit of help. And that's assuming that Taj and Boz both are also fine and aren't going to need any help from a pitching perspective. So the Rays have the arms. I'm not in panic mode. I'm not in, hey, let's go find out if, you know, X old pitcher that retired wants to come out of retirement and pitch for us. I'm not there. We have the arms in the organization to handle this, but it definitely is a lot murkier than it was last week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you lose a guy like Shane McClanahan, everyone else gets jumped up a peg. You know, everyone else's role gets amplified. So it's not super fun. I mean, like you said, all the guys you mentioned are going to have to maybe step up, you know, maybe do their thing, which, you know, obviously it'd be better if they just had Shane McClanahan instead. So it sucks, but, yeah, I mean, the Jeffrey Springs thing that you mentioned, I thought that was really interesting because, like you said, it would be kind of nice for them to have Jeffrey Springs right now, for sure. But at the same time, it's also nice that they have Joe Boyle. I don't know. I'm a big Joe Boyle guy. I think they can put it together with him. I think a lot of people are throwing around the Glasnow comparison and stuff, but maybe let's pump the brakes a little bit. Tyler Glasnow, you know, obviously was really great. So I don't know. I'm with you. Like, Jeffrey Springs would be really nice right now, but then again, Jeffrey Springs could also have broken in spring training just as easily. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, the catch 22 sort of thing. So, I don't know. I'm okay with it. I really like Wagispack as well. He's a Louisiana guy, so I have my soft spot for Louisiana dudes. I don't know. I'm not as concerned as other teams might be with, you know, their ace going down like this, just because they have, you know, like you mentioned, all those guys and a lot of them can, it's the Rays, man. They're gonna find really quality pitching arms seemingly everywhere. You know, Zach Littell was, who the heck was Zach Littell, you know? So there's a lot of faith that they can turn it around and turn things into a really competent pitching rotation, even without Shane McClanahan for an extended period of time.
Yeah, you're 100% right. If there's any organization in baseball that's earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to pitching staff, it's the Rays. My only concern if we're talking about, you know, how could a season go wrong, right? And we're going to get into this a little bit when we talk about what the Rays' record might be and what our predictions are there. When you look at the way the schedule breaks down, we haven't talked about this too much on the pod. We've talked about it a little bit. The way the schedule's broken out is leaned heavily on home games early to try to beat the rains in the later half of the year because we no longer have an indoor stadium. And so you're going to have a lot of home games that you probably want to win. I would also say the schedule is – I'll get into this in more detail later, but the schedule is a little tougher to start the year than it is at the end. And so I do – you know, it's going to be incumbent upon the offense to get off to a hot start in case the pitching needs a little bit of help without Shane to begin the year. That's something that's going to be – I think it's going to bear watching because, you know, you're going to have a lot of games at home in the first 2 months of the season. You need to probably win those because while I think the schedule is actually a little lighter in the back half, you're going to be on the road a lot. So, you know, I just look at that and say, I really need the A games of all the guys we've talked about all offseason that we've seen good things from them in spring training. We saw the great stuff from Junior and the Dominican League. We just need that to translate because the offense, you know, we've talked about, you know, we think that the pitching staff, as it was constituted previously, could bank, hey, if you can get us 3 to 4 runs offensively, we're going to win most games. Now I wonder if that maybe is now 4 runs. Maybe we're more solidly there. And I don't think it's a beyond the pale for this team, you know, to provide 4 runs. And I also think the pitching staff can give you games where they give up 1 or 2. But as the offense, I feel like now they need to start averaging more like 4 runs a game, which is not impossible at all. It's very doable. It's just a question of will they. So I'm not like overly concerned about it, but it is something I think we're going to have to watch as season gets started.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the offense is kind of that definitely the more wild card of the two sides of the coin, if you will. So it was kind of tough. Like, is Christopher Morel going to be able to bounce back? How's Junior Caminero going to perform? I think he's probably the more solidified player. But at the same time, like, he's still, 23, 22? He's still a very young person. So it's, you know, he's still figuring out his way. Brandon Lau and Yandy are obviously a little bit longer in the tooth. I don't want to say long in the tooth, but so, you know, there's just a lot of interesting components to their offense. And now that Shane is down, it's going to be incumbent upon them to sort of step their game up and try to carry the weight a little bit more, but it shouldn't be a problem. I'm still really excited for this team. I think that they're going to have reinforcements coming in with Ha-Seong Kim and hopefully eventually Shane returns, you know, that's the hope. So if anything, it's sort of like mini trade deadline acquisitions, if you will, just getting sort of guys that you might not have expected to be in your roster. Not that you didn't expect them, but just added surplus value. So it'll be really fun to watch this team, especially as they start to hit their stride in the middle of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And you out there watching the show, are you concerned about Shane? Are you concerned about the beginning of the season? Do you think that it's going to be something worse? Should we be looking to the free agent, whatever's left out there? Should we be looking to trades? Should we be forcing Joe Boyle up? Let us know what you guys think. We hope you're enjoying the show so far. We hope you enjoy the rest of the show. We hope you'll stick with us throughout the season. We're going to have a lot of awesome content for you all season long, and we hope you'll join us along. If you are enjoying so far, you can do us a huge favor and drop us a like. Let us know you enjoy the show. It means a lot to us. And if you really want to extra do us a favor, drop us a follow and a subscribe on the socials so that you get notified when we go live and when you can be a part of the live conversation. If you drop a comment in there on YouTube, we there's a chance we might see it and we'll talk about it on the show because we want to hear from you guys. It's a bit of a unique beginning to the start to the season when you have your rotation thrown off like it has been now. So we want to hear what you guys think about it. And speaking of rotations that have been thrown off, we're going to start to talk a little bit about the American League East. Because before we get into how, you know, the Rays are going to perform record-wise, we want to talk a little bit about their competition in the division, who are going to have maybe the biggest effect on that record. And one of the teams that I think we can, you know, like them or hate them, we can agree is going to be a big effect on that record is the New York Yankees. And the Yankees have had a – pretty major shakeup to their rotation with Gerrit Cole being out for the foreseeable future, definitely for this season. Hopefully that's it. That's what we know right now. So right now, you know, the changes to their rotation are now going to be focusing a lot more on relying on Max Fried, who they signed in the offseason. When you look at the rest of their offseason additions, you know, you brought in Cody Bellinger, brought in Paul Goldschmidt, kind of to replace Anthony Rizzo. Those are kind of the big ones. It was Max Fried, Paul Goldschmidt, Cody Bellinger. Those are the ones that are moving the needle. The big subtraction is, of course, losing Juan Soto. So they bring in Bellinger and Goldschmidt kind of to hopefully replace a little bit of what Soto brought them last year. How scared are you of the New York Yankees?
You know, I don't know. They lost Juan Soto, so that takes a lot of sting out of their lineup. They lose Gerrit Cole. That takes a lot of sting out of their starting rotation. But they also made some really fun additions. I really like the Devin Williams trade, too.
Oh, that's true.
I think trading for him is going to be really fun for that bullpen. I love Devin Williams. He's one of the most fun pitchers to watch in baseball. He's got the weird screwball and the changeup, and it's filthy. It's really cool. Plus, he apparently implemented he was a driving factor for the facial hair policy being changed. So that's fun. You know, because they were concerned, like, oh, this guy's not going to want to come back if we don't change his policy. But anyways, focusing more on the Yankees play on the field, I am really intrigued by the Cody Bellinger deal. I think that he could be really, really good with the Yankees. There's still some meat on the bone with Cody Bellinger in terms of his play. I think he can still be a very valuable player, especially with his great outfield defense and his interesting offensive profile. He's kind of changed from that huge slugger that he was when he was winning an MVP and a Rookie of the Year. Then he obviously went through that sharp, like, deep decline for a few years, dealt with some major injuries, and now he's come back and he's kind of, I don't want to say reinvented himself, but he's a bit different than he was before, but he's still very productive. So he's going to be really interesting how if he sticks in the outfield, maybe they move him to first base if Paul Goldschmidt struggles, because Paul Goldschmidt last season, second half, great. First half, ugh, like, he was bad. So, you know, it's going to be interesting how to see how that all develops. But overall, it's still the Yankees. They're still going to be a good team. They still got Aaron Judge. But I think that losing Juan Soto is huge. And while the additions that they made were nice, it's difficult to replace a guy like Juan Soto, especially with the offensive impact that he had. So I don't expect – low-key, the Yankees could miss the playoffs in my mind, and that would not be the weirdest thing. I think that with how good the AL East is, how tight the competition is going to be for the wild card, there's a very real world where the Yankees just unfortunately miss the playoffs. Unfortunately for them, fortunately for us. You know?
Yeah, and I think a big part of that, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, because I think a big part of why that could be the case is when you look at their injury list, which is long. Giancarlo Stanton, DJ LeMahieu, Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil, Clark Schmidt, Scott Efros, Ian Hamilton.
Right.
These are all guys, Jonathan Loaisiga. These are guys that we have come to, you know, I don't want to say fear, but we have definitely come to respect on the Yankees, maybe not so much DJ LeMahieu, but a lot of the rest, like Luis Gil was amazing last year for them. Clark Schmidt has been kind of a everyman, pretty good starter for them. And obviously we know what Cole is. Ian Hamilton was kind of their, you know, Clevenger, or, you know, he was a guy that was really good and they could come in kind of any situation. Loaisiga had been really good for them from time to time. Efros has a nasty arsenal. All those guys are injured to start the year. Some will come back sooner, some will come back later. But, like, you know, right now, Carlos Carrasco is projected as their number five starter.
Right.
And
he's
not 100% healthy.
Right.
So, like, you know, Will Warren is their number four. So, like, this is not, like, you know, this is a team that if they were completely healthy, I would feel very differently about them. And I kind of agree with you. Because right now, they have Max Fried. Very good. He's really good. I have no notes on him. Carlos Rodon is their number two right now, who has been so up and down since coming to New York. And then you've got, you know, Marcus Stroman, who I like. I don't like him as a number three. I love him as a number four or number five guy. I don't know how I feel about him as a number three, which is what he is right now. You could maybe argue that he's a number two, depending on how you feel about Carlos Rodon. And so the offense is going to be good for them. You know, Austin Wells has been really nice for them at catcher. And then obviously you got Judge. And then the guys we just talked about. But really after that, it's a lot of question marks. Jazz has also been good for them. So I'll give Jazz credit. But then it's like, will Jesson Dominguez be who he's supposed to be? Will Ben Rice recreate some of the weird magic he had? Oswaldo Cabrera, can he be something? This is not the same Yankees team we've been afraid of in the past. And I think it's funny because they were rated so high to kind of come into the season. But I think if everybody who rated them that highly were to take another look at them right now as they currently stand, I do not think they would be rated where they are. They need guys to come back off of injury, and they need them to come back and play well. That's one of the things that I think is, you know, not talked about very much when you talk about guys coming back off of injury. Once they're back, you're basically waiting about 2 to 3 weeks for them to be what you hope they can be. That's just how it is almost across the board, unless it's really minor. So, you know, I know at least for Stan, they're not expecting him back till July. I don't know about some of
them. I don't know that they're expecting Stan back, period.
So then you're talking about, you know, and if that's the case, you know, now you're talking about Jesson Dominguez has to figure it out. There's no option for him to figure it out. He has to, or they are in deep trouble. Kind of in the same boat that we are in our left field with Morel, except for we do actually have some other options. I don't know and maybe I'm giving the Yankees enough credit. I don't know the organization that deeply. But, like, I get the feeling that they really need Dominguez to work because they don't have Stanton. They need him to figure it out.
Right. And I think that the toughest part about it is, Judge is really important to that offense. Like,
so important.
Yeah, you remove Judge and it's collapses. Done. Like, I know you mentioned the pitching staff being a huge concern, and absolutely, like, with the amount of injuries that they have and the uncertainty, especially in the sort of middle to the back of that rotation, it's weird. You know, it can get real scary. But even the offense for me is a massive concern because you're depending on Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt to, I don't know if you'd call them past their primes, like Goldschmidt, yes, but maybe not for Bellinger. I don't know. It's just you're kind of hoping for a lot of overperformance from some older guys, and you're hoping for younger players to really break out of their shell and really, you know, make a huge impact. And I loved Jesson Dominguez coming up. I saw him with the Tampa Tarpons, but oh man, I don't know. It's just you're asking a lot out of a guy that's still relatively young. I know it, like, people make jokes about, like, it's his fifth year as a top 100 prospect. You know, he's been around for so dang long, but, like, he's still only like 23. You know, like, he's still young. So it's just tough, man. I don't know. I'm not a big believer in the Yankees this year, which brings a smile to my face. You know, it's wonderful to be able to say that. But all jokes aside, they're depending on a lot of things to happen. Like a lot of positive, you know, sort of playing above their skill level, maybe, so to speak. And I don't know that that's a winning formula, especially when they don't have reinforcements coming. You know, like, I hope Stanton works out. Like, I hope he comes back because baseball is more fun when Giancarlo Stanton's hitting bombs. Like, he's a really fun player to watch. But I don't see him coming back. That elbow thing is weird. Like, I don't know what's going on. It sounds like a genuine health concern. And I think that baseball is, like, very down on his priority list right now, like, as very low. So I hope he gets it together, gets better, but I don't know that it happens this year. It seems like some scary stuff, just really weird, like anomaly, like nobody really knows what to say. So I don't know. There's just so many question marks with the Yankees right now. I don't really see them. They're going to be a factor because it's the Yankees and they have Aaron Judge, but man, Aaron Judge has even shown he can be a bit, you know, they're having him play right field, so hopefully it's better. But he can be a bit questionable as an injury concern as well. You know, he's a big dude. Like, he's got a lot to manage. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the Yankees this season.
Let's switch from the Yankees to a team that I was not a huge fan of at all last season. Mm-hmm. And they kind of made me look stupid. And then they went on and spent a bunch of money, the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman. Garrett Crochet. Maybe the two of the biggest acquisitions in the entire offseason. For them to both go to one team, you know, other than Soto, obviously. But to bring in those two guys and to have the offense we talked about, you know, the offense being a question mark for the Yankees. That is not the case for the Red Sox. Jaron Duran, Rafael Devers, Alex Bregman, Tristan Casas, Trevor Story, Connor Wong. Like, that's their first six guys. that, I mean, I think those six would they would put those six out with any six in MLB, to be honest. Like, I mean, that's a legit top of the lineup to be worried about. The pitching staff, you're relying a lot on Crochet, but Hauk has been good for them. What does Walker Buehler have? He's the one of their other big additions from the offseason. What does Walker Buehler have in the tank? What does Aroldis Chapman still have in the tank? Because now he's a Boston Red Sox, and right. And all that is with Masataka Yoshida still on the IL. They expect him to come back. His injury was the end of last year. They expect him to be back at some point this season. He also is an upgrade, right? And I don't know about you. I'm more nervous about Boston than maybe any other team in the AL East right now.
Really? Wow. Okay. That's interesting. I really loved their offseason. I thought they had a really fun, like, just at least they were doing something because they're the Red Sox. Like, good Lord, like, you can't just be sitting on your laurels or resting on your laurels and sitting on your hands, like, doing, you know, just doing nothing. Like, come on now. Like, let's see some action here. And they brought it. You know, they did some stuff. I don't know how I feel about the Garrett Crochet trade in terms of long term, like giving up prospects for like a left-handed pitcher that I'm just scared of breaking. I mean, you're scared of all pitchers breaking, but man, I'm petrified of Crochet breaking. Like, he's so much fun to watch out there. And he is genuinely one of the best pitchers in baseball when he's right. It's just, oh man, I'm just kind of like white knuckling it when I'm watching him pitch because he's kind of skinny. He's kind of, I don't know. He throws really hard. He's a former reliever. So I don't know.
Tim Lincecum. Is Tim Lincecum kind of still somewhere in the back of your head?
Right, exactly. And it's also like, you know, especially in modern times because everyone's just max effort, max velo. Right. I mean, it even hurt my shoulder just doing that motion right there.
Right.
but yeah, I don't know. I'm a really big fan of what the Red Sox have done over the past 5 years. I hate that they let go of Chaim Bloom, honestly, because like they're reaping the rewards of his good work now because they have like, you know, just this ridiculously good farm system. Like, they've got Campbell, they've got Anthony, and they've got Meyer, and they've got all these really interesting position player prospects that could come up and make an impact, like a really big impact potentially. So it's tough. You know, the Boston Red Sox are going to be pretty good this year, but I think I'm even more scared of them in the future than I am just for this season, honestly.
I agree with you on that. The near me is the Greenville Drive, and that's the Red Sox single A.
Right.
Maybe it was last year, Anthony was there. Mm. And I mean, I didn't know what he looked like, but I just saw the team walk onto the field. I'm like, oh, that's Roman Anthony.
Yeah.
I knew he was there. Yeah. Dude is massive, and he's fast, and he's strong. Like, I mean, I know every top prospect is all the, but I mean, man, that guy looks like a major leaguer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that dude looks different. They're going to be good. You're 100% right. You know, because I think that, you know, I don't know what the status of some of their guys that are kind of aging is going to look like. I also don't know what's going to happen at third base because it's weird. That's the only, I don't know how strong the culture is there. That would actually be my main concern because I kind of feel like, you know, Tristan Casas said some weird things about Roman Anthony and some of the young prospects. Bregman is like trying to play the nice guy coming in. Devers is being weird. It doesn't feel like there's strong leadership in the locker room right now. It feels weird. That honestly, that's my main concern for them is, do they just kind of implode on themselves because they don't have a strong locker room? Like, who's the leader of this team? I mean, you would think it would be Devers, but he's being weird. And so it's like, you know, well, it's not him. Is it Trevor Story? Like, I don't know who the leader of this team is right now. Like, and that doesn't always matter. But like, I feel like when you're competing for a championship, which is what I think they want to be doing, like, you kind of need somebody. I mean, and Jaren Duran is also kind of a weirdo. So it's like, so, you know, he's really good, but he's a weirdo. And so like, I'm looking at this team and I'm like, they all look really good on paper.
Right.
The only thing that I think could maybe, you know, we could see something bad happen with them and them underperform is if they're just dysfunctional, you know, inside the organization. So that remains to be seen. On paper, they look really good. The only thing that doesn't look great for them on paper is the back end of their rotation. Just looks kind of whatever.
Yeah.
Quinn Priester, you know, the their bullpen looks pretty good. Jalen Beeks, I believe, is there. Is he? No, he wasn't. He's not there anymore. They've got a couple of nice arms there, along with the role to Chapman, Liam Hendricks. You know, they're a nice put together team on paper. We'll have to see what happens when they actually get out on the field.
Yeah, and I really like what their front office has done with that pitching staff last year. I think that as much as moving on from Hein Bloom was weird, I love who they brought in. Like, they got Andrew Bailey as their, I think, as their pitching coach, and they've got some really fascinating things that they've been doing with that pitching staff. So even if I can't, like you said, you're kind of looking through the roster resource page, if you will, and looking at their rotation or their bullpen, and you're like, well, kind of iffy on some of these guys, but they're not the Rays, of course, you know, not putting them on the same level, but I do have some confidence that they can kind of churn out some arms and turn some diamonds in the rough, if you will, out of their pitching staff. But yeah, the clubhouse culture has been weird. Like, the Devers thing is weird. Bregman, I don't like, does he play second base for a long period of time? Like, Devers is an awful third baseman, but at the same time, like, you don't want to piss off your best player. And like, you know, I don't know. It's a weird thing. It seems like the front office didn't do a very good job of communicating with a lot of these guys, like what the dealio is, like what's going on, you know, what the future plan is. So yeah, it's a weird, awkward situation for sure. And yeah, they got to figure out their outfield too, because Sedan Rafaela is great. Like, he's an amazing center fielder. I do not want to see him playing shortstop. Like, I don't want to see him move into the infield, because it was a bad experience that last year. And Story, unfortunately, is another one. Like, you're not really counting on him to stay healthy throughout the season. Right. It's just unfortunately not going to happen. Right. So yeah, I don't know. They got to figure out the outfield situation, because Duran's a really good player. Like you said, total weirdo. Seems like a strange fella, but he's a pretty good player. So I'd be interested to see if they maybe dangle him in a trade piece, because Willy Abreu is also really good. So their outfield is kind of crowded right now, especially with Anthony coming up. Sorry, I was spacing on his name for a second. So yeah, I don't know. The Red Sox are really interesting in a lot of ways, but also kind of awkward and kind of weird, and I don't really know what to think in some ways.
Yeah. Moving on from one of the most active off seasons in baseball to one of the least, the Baltimore Orioles. What is you doing, Baltimore?
Yeah, just really
what weird. What is going on? They lost Anthony Santander, brought right. on Tyler O'Neill. Ugh. You could make the argument that's a one for one. Tyler is a little younger. But man, the thing that kills me about them, my dad's an Orioles fan, so I kind of like, I root a little bit for them when they're not playing the Rays and when they're not directly competing with us. But what is their pitching staff, man? Zach Eflin, Charlie Morton, it's like the Dean Kramer, and then a bunch of guys I've never heard of, which I know people say that about the Rays, but I follow them a good bit, and I don't know. They just signed Kyle Bradish. You're dealing with serious injuries with them as well. G-Rod is probably hurt to start the season. They brought in Kittredge for the bullpen. He's hurt. And you are looking at a season with your number one guy being Zach Eflin. That doesn't really move me. You have a lineup that, I mean, again, we talk about like the best lineups in the East, right? Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Cedric Mullins, Jordan Westberg, Colton Cowser, Tyler O'Neill. Like, there's some guys there that are really good. You know, they're all young and they all have a lot of potential. But some of them are already realizing it. Gunner's legit. Rushman's legit. Mullins has been good for a while now. I just look at it and I say, you have a young core of elite guys and you are just not doing anything with it.
Yeah, it's strange, man. I don't really know what to make of their offseason, because I was fine with them letting Santander walk. I love Santander as a player. Like, he's really fun sort of in theory, but in practice, paying him, you know, $20 or $30 million a year, probably not ideal. So I get letting him walk. I didn't love bringing in Tyler O'Neill. I think that they could have just given Heston Kjerstad that spot, like just said, hey, man, go figure it out in the corner, you know, go do your thing. I love him. Like, I think he's going to be a really, really great player, but they're just not giving him any opportunity. I don't know if he's done something wrong. I don't know if he's, you know, pissed the wrong people off or what, but I would have loved to have seen them reinvest that money into their starting pitching rotation, their bullpen, like just get a lot of arms. Like, they could have really bought in bulk, you know, like, like Walker Buehler could be an Oriole. You know, they could have pushed their chips in on Garrett Crochet, as much as that might scare me a little bit. You know, I would have at least understood it a little more than just signing Tyler O'Neill and taking away a spot from a talented young player that, you know, because they love hanging on their prospects. Like Mike Elias has been, you know, compiling this elite farm system for a while now. And it's like, man, do something with it. You know, like you don't just do it just to be able to say like, we have a top farm system. Like you got to do it so that you can win some games, you know, like you got to do it so you can have some major league success. And that just hasn't quite happened yet. Obviously, they've made the playoffs the past couple of years, and you know, then the playoffs happens, and you can't really control what goes on there. But man, it is weird, like in a competitive division in like the AL East, that they just kind of sat on their hands, so to speak, with their pitching rotation. They didn't really do much to improve their pitching staff, and that's concerning because, yeah, things could get real, real weird real quick. You know, like the offense could be producing, but man, you can't put that much strain on this lineup. You know, they got to be able to lean on a pitching staff a little bit. And they just can't right now. So, you know, but hopefully for them, they're able to figure it out. Hopefully for them, Mike Elias has turned them into a pitching development machine, but I don't see it yet. So I don't know. We'll see.
The thing that's weird about them is they also have a pretty good bullpen. You know, Batista is coming back off of injury. Mm-hmm. They think he's going to be good. Sir Anthony Dominguez, Yennier Cano, Gregory Soto, CNL Perez. Like, they've got some guys
in the
bullpen. The problem is they're probably going to have to use them because your number two starter is 41 years old. I love Charlie Morton. Yeah. I love Charlie Morton. He's 41. He's 41.
Yeah,
Dean Kramer is your number three.
Right.
No offense to Dean Kramer. Again, like whenever I talk about guys in a negative or like a light like that, it's with the mindset of all these teams are trying to win a championship. And if you're telling me that you're going to send 41, maybe at that point, 42-year-old Charlie Morton out there in game two of a playoff series, well, you're telling me you're going to have to use your bullpen. Because as good as he is, like do you think he's going to be that level all season long? I'd love for him to prove me wrong because he's fun the guy to watch. I like him a lot. But you're putting pressure on some of these guys that I just don't know if they're made of that stuff. What is Kyle Bradish going to be for you? I have no idea. He's kind of more of the same to me for them. I do not understand why they did not bring back Corbin Burnes. I don't get it. Had the guy because, you know, in the same way we talked about, the Yankees rotation looking a little rough without Cole. This is how the rotation looks without bringing back a guy that is competing for a Cy Young every year in Corbin Burnes. If you add Corbin Burnes to the front of this rotation, then all of a sudden Charlie Morton's your three. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. Zach Eflin's a fine too. But like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, because Burnes seemed kind of committed to going to Arizona. So I would have at least – I wasn't unhappy with them letting Burnes walk, but I wasn't happy with them not replacing him. Like, they just didn't do anything to try to, like, supplement that loss. Like, that loss seemed kind of – I don't want to say set in stone because they could have just backed up the Brinks truck for him. But, like, I get not trying to put all your eggs in the Corbin Burnes basket because then he gets hurt and you're paying $30 million for a pitcher on the IL. I sort of can wrap my head around them losing him, but I cannot wrap my head around – I cannot justify them letting him walk and not having a backup plan, not having a plan to sort of replace his production at the top of that rotation because he was pretty good last year. And not only that, they gave up Joey Ortiz for him, and Joey Ortiz is turning into a quality player. He's turning into a solid player for the Brewers. Him and DL Hall, they could certainly use Joey Ortiz and DL Hall right now instead of Corbin Burnes. Yeah, exactly. They could have. It's just, I don't know. I was expecting them to try to bring back Corbin Burnes on a more permanent basis after that deal. They did not, and it was like, all right, well, you know, you got a season out of Corbin Burnes for those two guys. But they didn't replace him, and it's just – it's disappointing. It's frustrating. I'd hate – I mean, it's fun to be an Orioles fan because they've got this young, exciting group of players. But at the same time, man, you've got to be, like, just cursing Mike Elias, you know, like, just do something. Like, just – like, it's just – it's frustrating. But what are you going to do? It's at the detriment to themselves, but it's to the benefit of the Rays. So, you know, it's all good.
You know what's frustrating? When your favorite shirt – just can't handle it anymore. When it rips or there's a stain on it, you can't get out of it, and you got to replace that shirt. It's frustrating and can be difficult sometimes, but there's an easy solution for you with shop.rbrsports.com, where you can get 10% off your entire order there with promo code Flappy. And what do you get 10% off of? You get 10% off of all the best merch inspired by your favorite Tampa Bay sports teams and Tampa area sports teams, the Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, and Sun. They are all there for you. Shop.rbrsports.com, promo code Flappy for 10% off. And moving on from the Orioles, we're gonna make it quick talking about the Blue Jays because I don't have a whole lot to say about them because I think they are, as they frequently are, a paper tiger of a baseball team that always every offseason they pull some stuff together and it looks like maybe this would be the year for them and it never is. Santander, he's a nice addition for them. They bring on Jimenez from Cleveland. It's a nice move for them. Their pitching staff, you know, they bring on Max Scherzer. Okay, whatever. Yeah. I like Bowden Francis. He's predicted to be their number four. Gausman, if he's healthy, is good. Berríos has been pretty okay. So has Bassett. I don't know, man. Like, on paper, I feel like this team is the most, you know, I think this team might have the least, like, maybe the least variance of any team. Like, I don't think they're going to be terrible. And I don't think they're going to be amazing. I think they're going to be mid. This looks like a very mid team. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I just don't see anything that, like, is – because, like, Springer could get hurt at any time. Bo Bichette, I have to wonder where his head's at because they just haven't committed to this guy long term. And it doesn't look like they're going to. Vladdy, they won't – yeah, I just don't – I don't love this team.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Blue Jays either. But and especially the Jimenez deal to me signaled that – their Bichette days are numbered, which I don't hate. I don't love it. You know, obviously in an ideal world, you keep him around, but he was pretty bad last year. He was pretty awful. And he's just so like undependable defensively that like he has to hit and he did not hit last year. And sure enough, it tanked his value and his war and all that stuff. Yeah. So Jimenez to me is like a signal that, hey, we want Jimenez to maybe move over to short eventually because he's so good defensively at second. It's not far-fetched to think like, oh, he could be really good defensively at short too. He came up as a shortstop. So it's, you know, I know a lot of people kind of scratch their heads at that deal and I totally get it. Cause like it's a long-term deal with high dollar amount for a guy that just doesn't really hit, but you know, at the same time, he provides some really elite defense up the middle. And I think that they're viewing him as a long-term answer at shortstop. So, you know, it's a weird deal because like I said, for all the reasons I stated, but I totally got it or I sort of got it. I really don't understand not committing to Vladdy long term, not trying to get that deal done, because if he has another great season, you're not going to be able to afford to keep him. The price is just only going to go up. So I don't know. It's a weird, tricky situation over there in Toronto. And they've got a kind of a strange team. Like you said, I'm not really super confident that they're going to be able to put it all together. But, you know, at the same time, if Bo Bichette bounces back and has a really great year and Vladdy continues to rake and the Santander signing works out, they could have a fun top of the lineup. It's really just the rest that I'm worried about. I think they just extended Alejandro Kirk. So that's kind of fun. I like Alejandro Kirk defensively behind the plate. But, kind of a weird team.
The most I have to say on them is the fact that they re-signed Alejandro Kirk before Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is crazy work. I don't get it. I don't understand what they're doing. I don't understand what their organizational plan is. Because what do you do if you lose Vladdy? What's your plan? Like, they're almost telegraphing, we think we might lose Vladdy and Bichette. And then you're left with Jimenez.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like that's weird. I don't know. I don't have much to say about them. I think they are mid. I think they are the definition of mid. And that I think they will be mid until further notice. And I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, their farm system is real rough. Like they don't really have like a super, you know, talented prospect system coming through the pipeline. So yeah, I don't know. They're gonna be it's gonna be some dark days for the Blue Jays if things don't turn around.
Farsho's hurt. Yeah. I mean it's just something I have a lot to say about, and we're going to have a lot to say about, is our predictions. We're here finally after an entire off season. We are here to predict what we think is going to happen with this race season. We're going to start it off by kind of recapping a little bit our discussion that we just had on the American League East, and combine that with what we think the Rays' record is going to be and where we think they're going to finish in the East. So, Carter, what do you expect the Rays' record to be this season, and where do you expect them to finish in the East?
So I'm going to give a range. I hate giving exact numbers with these things. I know that's kind of a cop-out. Like, hey, you got to commit to an actual record. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to sit on the fence. So I think that they'll be sitting in the 85 to 90 win range. Okay. And I think that the competition in the AL is so fierce that they could win 86, 87 games and make it in as a wild card. Like, that's not super far-fetched. Because a lot of these teams are just sort of clumped together. So I think there's going to be a lot of, like, 500 sort of hovering around that throughout the league. So I think 85 to 90, very solid sort of floor. Maybe they, you know, surprise everyone. Christopher Morel hits the crap out of the ball, and Junior Caminero is a, you know, low-key dark horse MVP candidate. Like, they could, theoretically, there's a huge positive range of outcomes for this team. But I think that a solid prediction is 85 to 90. And I think that they make the playoffs. I think they probably make it in as a wild card. The Orioles, despite their pitching woes, and the Red Sox are going to be really fun. The Yankees are still going to be pretty good. So I don't know. There's some teams that are going to be tough, but I think the Rays sneak in as a wild card, maybe in the second or third spot, both in the division and the wild card. So that's where I got them.
Yeah. Okay. The Rays right now, I'm not a betting man, but if you wanted to go bet them right now, over under is 81.5.
Really? I'd probably bet the over on that pretty comfortably.
I would hammer the over because I would have said yesterday that this team is going to win 93 games. With the Shane news, I'm going to drop it to like 90, 91 wins. That being said, I think the Yankees' injuries are going to be too much for them to overcome. I think that the Orioles don't have an identity as a pitching staff. And I think that the Blue Jays are mid. That being said, I think Boston's really good. In the past couple of years, I've picked the Rays to win the East. I'm not going to do that this year because I don't feel confident enough in the pitching staff without Shane. So I'm actually going to pick the Red Sox to win the division by a hair.
I love it. Okay.
Over the Rays in second, the Yankees in third, and then the Orioles close behind them. Yankees and Rays are going to be doing this all season, I think, and the Blue Jays in fifth.
Right.
I predict the Rays to make the playoffs in the wild card, obviously. And I think there's a – I think, you know, right now I don't. I have the Yankees either being right on the edge of the playoffs or missing. I think we're really underselling just how bad the injuries are going to hurt them and how much they need those guys to come back off of injury and perform. Where the Rays, like you said, obviously they want to get Shane back, and Ha-Seong Kim is going to be back. You know, obviously, you know, knock on wood, no other major injuries. I think the Rays have maybe the best rotation in baseball, even not in baseball, in the East, even without Shane, they may have the best rotation in the East. And so, because you look at some of the other teams, a lot of the other teams in the East have one guy who is maybe better, like Boston has Crochet, you know. The Blue Jays have Gausman. Like, there's maybe one guy that you look at and say he's better than what the Rays have right now. But I think, you know, 1-5, the Rays are better than anybody else in the East right now, and especially the Yankees without Heel, without Cole, 100%. You know, Freed is, again, better than anybody in the Rays rotation. But the Yankees down their rotation are not better than the Rays. And I think the lineup, as much as we have been concerned about them and I've been concerned about them, we need Morel to figure it out. The rest of the team, health permitting, you know, you kind of expect some health to come into play, but there's just so many guys that can contribute. You know, the fact we didn't even talk about it today. Eloy accepted a deal to Durham, a guy that, you know, could probably go play on some major league rosters right now because he wants to be part of this organization. And he is now a guy that's going to be there if we have an injury and we need to bring somebody up. He's going to be there. I believe in Jonathan Aranda. I believe in Junior Caminero. I obviously believe in Lau and Low and in Yandy. I think this offense is going to figure it out. And then, you know, even beyond those guys, you've got guys like Carson Williams coming up, probably maybe not affecting the roster this year, but a guy like Chandler Simpson, I think, will. And you've got those guys sitting down in Durham ready to affect the major league roster. They've got enough depth on the pitching side. The bullpen is elite. Maybe the I think they are the best in the East, and they're top five in baseball, and they're not five. This is a really good baseball team. the division as much as, you know, we talked about the weaknesses of each of these teams, they're all good. So that's where the 91 to 92 wins comes in, because unfortunately, as much as I think the Rays are better than these teams, they're all really good. They can all beat you any given day because they all have guys that can go nuclear and make a difference in a given game. So I have the Rays making the wild card comfortably. Like, I don't think this is going to be a down to the wire where we're like we're biting our nails. I think they are comfortably in the wild card. I think they are not really in doubt when we get to that point of the season. They're in the playoffs. And I think this is going to be a really, really fun season. Kind of piggybacking off of that, the next thing we're going to predict is who we think the Rays MVP and Cy Young is going to be this season. And then as a bonus on top of that, give me your MVP, give me your Cy Young, and do you think either of those guys will compete for the award in the American League?
Yeah, so I think the MVP, I hate to, you know, pick just the basic guy, like, oh, this is the most famous player, but I do think Junior has the best year on the team. I think he's going to be really, really good. You know, so I think he's pretty comfortably the MVP of this team. I'd be surprised if it's not him. And then it's in terms of Cy Young, I'd probably go with Pep. I love Pepio. He had such a great season last year. He had some weird, like, freakish injuries, like not arm related at all, really, that were like, wow, what the heck, such bad luck. But when he was on the field, he was borderline elite. He was really stinking good. So if he can stay out there, if he can stay healthy, you know, knock on wood, all things considered, I think he'll win Cy Young. And that's not discrediting the rest of that pitching staff, because, like, there's some real monsters out there. So, you know, that's not a super high confidence pick, but I just really like Pep's stuff. Like, his changeup is just one of the best in baseball. So I think Pepio is going to have a really great year, and I'm excited to see what he can do. I don't know that they have anyone that competes for these individual awards, you know, in terms of the league. That's tough. There's just a lot of great players out there, you know, and the Rays are certainly more of a deeper team than a star dependent team, which I like. I love it. You know, it's enjoyable. So I don't know that any of these players actually compete for the big time awards, but hey, crazier things have happened. You never know. Maybe Shane Baz turns it around. You know, he stays healthy and he's just like, I'm going to be the Cy Young candidate this year. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay, cool. So, you know, we'll see. But those are my picks for the year for those awards.
It's funny that you mentioned Shane Baz, because that's going to be my pick for Team Cy Young. And the reason why I just got a feeling about him. And I don't know, when we broke him down for his player review, I feel like I was not giving him enough credit last year for the job that he did, for how he kind of flew under the radar a little bit, how good he was last year. He did a really good job of not letting guys get on base a lot, of not giving up the long ball. I don't know. I feel something good is coming for him. The other cool thing about him is that there's not a lot of pressure on him. He's probably your 3-4 starter, even without Shane. You know, you've got guys like Bradley, who's kind of the young stud, even though they're both young, but he's kind of who people are looking at. They're looking at Pepio, obviously, because of the Glasnow trade, and Littell has kind of established himself now. Even Rasmussen, you know, they're all. I just feel like Baz has a chance to fly under the radar and be really, really good this season for the team Cy Young. Don't think he's going to compete for the Cy Young because, you know, kind of sad things is that we haven't really had a guy compete for the Cy Young award since Blake Snell. We just haven't had we've had guys that if they had stayed healthy all year, Shane and Tyler both had seasons where they were good enough to compete, but neither one of them has really, you know, kept it around and been healthy and been at the level they needed to be all season long to compete. Shane was the closest. MVP, you've had two guys get votes in the past, Brandon Lau and Yandy Diaz. Yandy is always a candidate for team MVP because he's one of, if not the leader of the team. The what he does from the leadoff position to put pitchers on the back foot immediately. He's just an incredibly valuable guy at first base. It's hard to be the MVP from first base and DH, but he's just really, really good. Another guy, Junior's is a great pick and an obvious one because we know what we can do. Another guy that I'm looking at really closely this year is Josh Lowe. Can he be the 30-30 guy we hoped he would be when he came up? Because that changes this team. If he is that guy, If he hits 30 bombs and steals 30 bases, he immediately becomes, you know, a real contender, maybe even for MVP. If he's providing, you know, that kind of value with good defense, there's a lot of guys that can do that, maybe even better than him. But if he breaks out, you know, he has that potential. But at the end of the day, I'm going to make probably the most obvious pick for me of any pick that I could possibly make. And I'm just going to go with the dog. I can't, because as hard as I try, as much as I want to put it out of my mind, I cannot put away 2021. I just can't do it. It's there. It's in my mind. I'm going to knock on all the wood around that he's looked good in spring and looked healthy. My head says 110 to 100 games played this offseason. My heart, and this is a heart pick, straight up. I try to make most of these picks with my head. This is a heart pick, because I just believe that if he plays 140 to 150 games, he is hitting 40 bombs. He is competing for the league MVP award. And in a year where we, you know, Judge is going to have a lot of pressure on him, is he going to be able to do, you know, provide the kind of value that he's provided year over year? We expect it, but is there an injury potential with him the same way there is with Lau, and with him kind of having to shoulder the offense? I don't know. I think it's not, you know, outside of the realm of possibility for Brandon or Junior, if he really plays up to expectations, to compete for an MVP. I just believe in Brandon Lau. He's my favorite player on the race, my favorite player in baseball. I'm always going to root for this guy. He's going to be my team MVP, and I think he can compete for MVP votes if he can stay healthy. And I just feel like he's got, like, the baseball gods have to give us one more year. Just one. That's all I'm asking for. Just one more year of healthy Brandon Lau before he kind of, you know, passes over into 31, 32 years old season. Just give me one more. Give me one fully healthy season of Brandon Lau. I don't feel like I'm asking for much.
Yeah, I mean, if he plays 140 to 150 games, the Rays win the division in my mind.
Oh, that's yes, they do.
Yeah, so that's gonna be tough. If he's able to do that, that's gonna be really, really impressive and really important for this team. But I like the J-Lo shout out. I love, you know, as a player, the value that he provides on the base paths. He's a really good, really smart base runner. And man, if he can just be 2023 Josh Lowe, then the Rays will be fine. You know, I think if you can get either him or Morel sort of back on track with the bat, then the Rays can make some real noise in this division. And if you get both of them, then shoot, they might have one of the best records in baseball. But both of those guys especially, I'm really, really hopeful that they can turn things around and sort of return to maybe some previous levels of production that they've shown at the major league level. And if they can, man, the Rays are going to be in great shape. And they could both compete for the MVP as well. You know, they could both compete for most valuable Ray. They'll be kind of fun to watch for sure this season. The Rays have so many high levels of variance that they could hit with a lot of their position players. It's just some real promise on this team. And the good news is that you know, even if this year maybe doesn't work out, next year is going to be even better, because they've got, like you said, Chandler Simpson and Carson Williams and all these guys, Trey Morgan, coming through the pipeline that are going to be really, really sticking with it. So, you know, I'm really excited for the future of this team. Obviously, some of the stadium tough stuff kind of clouds it, but we talked about that last week. We don't need to think about that anymore. So, yeah, exciting team for this season, but even more exciting in the future for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of high variance, the last thing to predict – for this season, the playoffs. Maybe the most high variance thing. Yeah. Maybe the most high variance playoff outside of, like, March Madness in sports, right? Might be, just because of how baseball is. Where do you see the Rays? Do you see the Rays being able to do anything in the postseason this year?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, things could break the right way. They have the pitching staff to do it. You know, they could easily have like a 1-2-3 punch in their starting rotation that's just elite. And then they could have some relievers, you know, like Drew Rasmussen could go to the bullpen and be really good. And they still could have Pete Fairbanks and Uceda and all these really good bullpen options. So absolutely, there's a world where the Rays make some real, real progress in the playoffs and, you know, make it to the World Series or something crazy. But, if I had to predict, just because it's sort of the easy thing to say, I think they probably lose in the division series if they make it there. Okay. Just because, like, you can't control the playoffs, and, like, that's just the most likely outcome, you know, like, I'm kind of playing the field here. So that's kind of my prediction. But with the playoffs, I mean, shoot, they could get hot or, you know, whatever, whatever logic goes into the playoffs, because there just doesn't seem to be any. You know, there could be some weird stuff that goes on and the Rays make some noise and make it to the World Series. But, yeah, I got them losing in the ALDS this year.
The thing that's interesting about the playoffs this year is the NL is a bloodbath. Dodgers, sure. Rays, Phillies, Mets, like, good luck.
Right.
The American League. Right, yeah, now, it's weird. It's kind of – it's right now, the projected leaders in the standings are like Baltimore, New York, Houston, Boston, Texas, Seattle. Are you terrified of any of those teams?
Yeah, that's a good point. Not really.
I'm not. I'm not scared of any of them. Kansas City, Minnesota, Detroit, like, none of these – there's no team this year that is, like, going – that, like, I'm not even, like – I feel like they're going to win it all 100%. I feel like this is kind of a wide open season. The season could take shape, you know, if the Royals figure it out with Bobby Witt and they kind of put some things together, they could figure it out. I don't believe in Houston at all. I think that their run of continued excellence is going to start to come to a close this season. I think the clock is going to strike 12 here very soon on them. Texas, They're a high variance team too, I feel like. You need guys like Wyatt Langford to step it up for them. Seattle, wildly variance in what they could do. You know, what does Julio do? What does Randy do? You know, they got a bunch of really good pitchers. Can the offense do enough to get them to go far? And then I just come back to the Rays. When you put the Rays in the postseason, especially if McClanahan is back healthy, you have an elite three, 1-2-3 in Shane, Pepio, and Boz or Bradley. You have elite reset buttons in Zach Littell and Drew Rasmussen, elite bullpen, and you have guys who can launch at any point in the lineup. You have guys that are a threat from both sides, righty and lefty, which is huge in the postseason because you can't just stack the deck one way or the other against them. It's going to be hard to play the matchups against the Rays because they have such a balanced lineup. I feel really good about this team. I've been thinking about this all morning about what do I think is going to happen with them. I think this team is going to make it to the championship series at least. I don't think there's anybody that I'm really scared of in the American League. I think this team has World Series potential because I just feel like this team is put together so well. And when you look at the roster construction of the other teams in the American League, I don't think any of them are elite in their roster construction. And while the Rays don't have the top end talent of some of those teams yet, or maybe, you know, health permitting, if health does permit, and if the young guys like Junior and Aranda figure it out, this team can win a World Series. And I think even more so than previous years, I think their floor is the DS personally. I think that they are going to get through the wild card round because of the pitching staff, because of all the bats they've got right now. We hope they work out, but I think they will. And then once they get past, you know, the wild card into the DS and the CS, I think they can really lean on their pitching and the depth of the pitching staff. And I think that's going to carry them a long way. I got this team going to the World Series.
Wow. Okay, cool. I love it. Hey, I love a bold prediction.
It is a very bold prediction. And right now, you know, there's not a lot of people that would pick that. Right now, you know, most people are predicting them to be maybe last or second to last in the East. I don't see it that way. I see a team that has very few real weaknesses. I know I've picked them 2 years in a row to go to the World Series. Didn't work out at all last year, but right. Last year was such a huge fluke. And again, what happened to the Rays last year can happen to any team at any time. So, like, that's baseball. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, this team has the horses. I feel like they've got enough guys that can do something. It's a lot of variance in this lineup and less so in the pitching staff, but the bullpen's elite, the staff's elite. I just got a good feeling, man. I just feel it. I know I've picked up 2 years in a row, and maybe people out there call me a homer. I am a homer. I believe in this team. I love these guys. I think they're going to do it.
Yeah, I hope so, man. It would be awesome to see it happen. It'd be really weird to see what they do with, like, the home field stuff because, you know, watching a World Series in a minor league stadium would be really, really weird.
Played in Ray J. There we go. World Series.
Right, yeah. Savannah banana style. I don't know. We'll see how it goes, man. I'm excited for the season regardless, though. It should be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a blast to watch it. We hope you've enjoyed our prediction show. And we hope if you've got some thoughts, you'll share them with us in the YouTube comments, on social media, DM me. I don't care. I want to know what you guys think about this race season. I want to know if you think they're going to go places in the postseason. If you think this team's a bust and is going to be a repeat of last year, if you would hammer the under on this team, if you were a betting person, or maybe you are a betting person, let us know. And if you enjoyed and you want to see our journey, if you want to see me be wrong or right, drop us a follow, drop us a subscribe. It's free. It helps us out so much. And it lets you know when we're live, and it lets you know the end of all these predictions. If you want to call me stupid, you can. But at the end of the day, I'm a Rays fan. We're all Rays fans. Rays baseball next week. Rays up.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.